God's desire to use you and to use me has nothing to do with whether we are uneducated or educated. The power comes when we are filled with God's Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9 says that anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. You can't be a Christian if the Spirit of God doesn't live within you.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In his message last week, Pastor Brian Grant showed how, in the early church, God used ordinary men to accomplish extraordinary things. How ordinary men, empowered by the Holy Spirit, preached an extraordinary message about an extraordinary Savior and turned the world of their day upside down. Pastor Brian challenged ordinary individuals, both the young and the not so young, to dare the same for Christ today. This week, Pastor Grant continues the second part of that message entitled, God Uses Ordinary People. So listen now as Pastor Grant describes what it took for the early Christians to accomplish such great things for Christ. Here's Pastor Grant.
What is so special about this Jesus? Oh, here's the bottom line. You say, why do we have to follow Jesus? Well, you have to follow Jesus because he is God. I haven't been the pastor here too long, but I'm starting to find out that even a GCA, not necessarily our members, but a number of people who come here week after week, haven't quite got it. That what we're trying to get across to you is that why Jesus is so special is that he is God. I'm finding out a lot of people are of the opinion that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is, but they're missing the fact that he is God the Son. Don't ever miss that. If you leave here and miss that, you'd have missed everything. The reason why Jesus is the only one that can save you is because, unlike the other so-called saviors, Jesus is God. Here's what they said in Isaiah 9. Verse number 6. You remember the prophecy in Isaiah 9:6? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor. The mighty what? Say it. He is the what? And do you notice who it is? It is this baby, this son, and it is telling you this son is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Listen, this is not some son. You see, because we have sons, I got two. But Jesus is not the Son of God the way my sons relate to me. You see, Jesus always was. Oh, I wish I had time to preach this morning, but that's for another time. Listen, Jesus always was. He is the eternal Son. What happened when he became a babe in Bethlehem was not that Jesus was beginning. Jesus always was. What was happening in that manger was his incarnation. There's a nice big word for you. His incarnation. You say, what in the world is incarnation? No, I'm not talking about carnation milk. I'm talking about his incarnation. The eternal God took flesh. The incarnation means he took flesh. He fleshed out. God took flesh. Why did God take flesh? God took flesh so that he could be your substitute and my substitute. He became a man so he could go to the cross of Calvary and die in your place and in my place. Do you get it? Do you get it? The punishment that you deserved, the punishment I deserved, Jesus Christ was taking it upon himself on the cross. And in order for the eternal God to do that, he had to become like us. But look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 23. The angel said, "Behold, the virgin will be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is what? Oh, you missed that. The prophecy regarding his very name was to authenticate and to establish that Jesus is God. My friend, that's why there is no other name under heaven. I know I pray, we are praying for you this morning. If you're coming to God's house this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it is our prayer that today you will come and find this Savior. But not only their message, let's look at their courage. The power elite had made a decision to get rid of Christianity. Peter and John were jailed overnight. And then bright and early they were hauled before the ruling council. Now don't miss this. Don't miss this. This was the same bunch who had done what? Sentenced Jesus to death. Don't miss that. This is the same high priest. This is the same bunch who had sentenced Jesus to death. And Peter and John finds themselves before the same bunch. You'd think they would be scared. What caused them to be so courageous? Well, it's because they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And verse 8 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called,'" and I'll stop for an act of, an act of kindness. Hey, this was because of their empowerment by the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and this made all the difference. I'll come back and say some more about that. But please don't forget that just a few months earlier, our good friend Peter, you remember what had happened with our friend Peter just a few months before? What do you remember happened? This is the same Peter who is just out there in the courtyards. He's not even before the Sanhedrin. He's just in a courtyard with some people, and this guy is cussing up a storm. The Bible says he cursed and he swore, "I don't know him." But here is the same guy. What's the difference? This time he is filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we've got to talk about what that means, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But before I do that, I want you to notice they were just ordinary people. Oh, I don't want us to miss that. They were just ordinary people. And I believe that this morning, God is bringing this to all our attention because he's trying to strip away the excuses. You know, some folks here, their excuses, "I'm just too young for God to use me." You know, I believe over the years in our church, you might disagree, but I'm going to say anyhow, since I have the microphone, I believe over the years we have developed a culture where many of our young people are waiting to grow up for God to use them. So when an invitation is given that we need Sunday school teachers, young people don't even think that anybody has a plan for them. Do you know that many of us, present company included, we were teaching Sunday school when we were teenagers? And I want to say to the young people, don't you ever think that there are these responsibilities that you cannot do. Because I want you to know, God uses ordinary people. Amen? It's about the Spirit of God. And young people, I want you to stop. If the adults make you feel like you're not ready, forget about what they say. God has saved you, and the God who has saved you has given you a gift, and he wants you to use it even though you're 15 or 16. You need to get plugged in. But that's one of the excuses that people use. Oh, I'm too young. But you know, some folks use the excuse, "Well, I don't think I'm talented enough, or I don't think I have enough education. But you know, education is good. I encourage young people to get a good education, amen? But I want you to notice that it was uneducated people that God used in the foundation of his church. Don't miss this. The Bible is clear. Here we have a church that's booming. I hope you didn't miss that. As we just said, probably by now 15,000 plus people are in the church in such a short time. And who are the people God is using to propel this incredible growth of the church? It's uneducated people. God doesn't need, listen, it's great if you got your degrees, but God doesn't need the degrees to get his work done. Somebody say amen. Amen. So you say, oh, I have been to Bible school. I have been to seminary. As if God needs you to go there before he can use you. Oh, somebody help me this morning. Listen, I don't even know where the place is. But I know that, listen, the Spirit of God, he can teach you his word. Amen. One of the challenges in the Christian life is to have proper balance. So we run into folks who think they're so insignificant, God can't use them. And then we run into other bunch who think they're so significant, so qualified, that God certainly needs them. Oh, the church is so privileged to have us. I hope I'm not bursting your bubble. But God does not need you. Did I hurt you? He does not need you. He does not need me. And anytime I start having the mindset that I'm doing God a favor, I may as well sit on the bench. I want you to know my greatest privilege, the greatest privilege I've had in my life, is to have the Spirit of God choose to use me. And would to God, that every single one of us might recognize our greatest privilege is to have God using us. You say, Brother Brian, are you trying to suggest that God cannot use the brilliant and the extraordinary? Of course God can. You realize that later on, the Apostle Paul is brought into the picture, and whereas the church started with these unschooled, ignorant, as some versions put it, as Peter and John, it started with these fishermen. But God, later on, he plugs in the brilliant Apostle Paul. He uses everybody. But I don't want you to miss what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 verse 5. You see in Philippians chapter 3 verse 5, after Paul had given his impressive resume, he gives an impressive resume about his background and his training and his education. But then after he does that, the Apostle Paul says, listen, he says, all these things I count as dung, cow's manure. He says that I might win Christ. You see, Paul recognized the way God using him was not because of his education. It was because of the empowerment of the Spirit of God. So this morning, before I move on, I want to make it clear that God's desire to use you and to use me has nothing to do with whether we're uneducated or educated. The power comes when we are filled with God's Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes I think we have a bad attitude about the filling of the Spirit. You know, we watch TV and we see people saying they're filled with the Spirit and they're jumping over the benches and they're dancing in the aisle and they're doing the moonwalk. They're doing all sorts of stuff. And we say, I don't want to be mixed up with that hocus pocus. But the filling of the Holy Spirit, come with me now, the filling of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with jumping over the bench. It has nothing to do with shouting from your seat. It's good sometimes to praise God because of his goodness, but that doesn't have anything to do with the filling of the Holy Spirit. The power comes when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and God's desire is that every believer should be filled with his Holy Spirit. You said, Brother Brian, doesn't the Bible say that we're all filled? No, it does not. Romans 8:9 tells you, and you can make a note of it yourself. Romans 8:9 says that anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So listen, you cannot be a Christian if the Spirit of God does not live in you. Romans 8:9. You can't be a Christian if the Spirit of God doesn't live within you. But make no mistake, the fact that the Spirit of God lives in you, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, is not the same thing as the filling of the Spirit of God. Are you with me? He can live in you. He can be a resident. The minute you become a Christian, the Spirit of God becomes a resident. But the question is he the president? Does he control? You see, I can encourage you to come. I can invite you to my home. And you can be a resident of my home. And I'll tell you, please make yourself at home. But guess what? I'll tell you a secret. If when I come home, I find you looking through my bedroom drawers, I will gently remind you, you are just a resident. But do you know, my kids, they're all over my things. They come, they use this, they come in there. The next thing I see, my wallet, not now anymore, because they grow up now. But you know, I'd see, they'd go through to make sure, can they come and ask for any reasonable amount of money? You know, they're checking everything out. You see the distinction? We are filled with the Spirit of God when God has full control. Let me give you an illustration we used in our class. Suppose you have a sponge and you want to fill it with water. You're right at the sink. Now, what do you have to do to fill that sponge with water? You turn the faucet on and you put the sponge in, and guess what's going to happen? It's going to be filled with the water. No, let me ask you this. So the base is now full of water, and you now take the sponge, and you're holding onto the sponge under the water, and you are squeezing the sponge. You're squeezing it, and it's under the water. Now, the sponge is still in the water, but is it going to get filled? What do you have to do? All you have to do is release it. Let it go. Do you realize that's what God is saying to us this morning? You want to be filled with His Holy Spirit? Let go. Release yourself. Release yourself to the control of the Spirit of God. Stop trying to be in charge. Stop trying to do it your way, God. I want you to take control. I'm releasing myself. I am surrendering my life to your will. As we release ourselves, the Spirit of God will fill us and will empower us so that we ordinary people will be able to do extraordinary things for Him.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now, back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, was speaking to students in England years ago, and he He was telling the story, told the students of Peter. This wasn't Peter in the Bible, but Peter was a Chinese convert, but believe it or not, a Chinese convert with the name Peter. And on one of their journeys, of course, by then they traveled a lot by boat. And one of the journeys, Peter, who did not know how to swim, this fellow Peter, he fell overboard. But fortunately, there were a number of fishermen within easy reach of the man who had fallen overboard. And so Hudson Taylor called out to them, begging them to rescue his friend. Well, these guys were busy unloading their catch. They had a big catch of fish, and they were just busy doing that. Hudson Taylor kept shouting, "Please help my friend. He's such an easy reach from you. Please rescue him." They kept doing what they were doing until they were finished. When they were finished unloading the catch, they finally went now and picked the man, grabbed the man out of the water, put him on shore, and they tried to bring him back to life. He was dead. And as Hudson Taylor told this story to the kids, he asked them, he said, "What do you think of those fishermen?" And some of these students said, "I think they were bad people. They were evil people. They were selfish people. They wouldn't even save a dying man." And then Hudson Taylor said, "You know, I think they are like most Christians today, unconcerned about the plight of sinners, just easy reach from them." Is that you? But then, I want you to notice their prayer, and I'm going to rush through this and bring it to an end. One, they prayed for boldness in witness. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 29. They prayed for boldness in witness. "Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." Boy, I tell you, it's interesting. That's what they were praying about. God, they've been whipped. And what they're praying, "God, please help us to speak your word with boldness." But second, they were praying for power in ministry. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 30. "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs." And oh, as we go to the streets, as we go to our neighbors, as we go to our friends, let us be praying that God might give us success in ministry, power in ministry, that we might achieve his purposes. You know, all over the world, scores of young people are giving their lives to support jihad. All around our world, in the United States, there's hardly a week goes by that we're not finding out that more of our young people are giving their lives. In the United Kingdom, across Europe, people, young people are giving their lives for a message to kill. Young person, older one, we've got a message of hope. We've got a story to tell to the nations. And I want to ask you, can God count on you? That's really the question. Can God count on you? God uses ordinary people. Can he count on you? That if you're not saved, I just want you to know this. He's the only way. Jesus is the only way. And I want you to know, if you come to Jesus today, the Bible says there is great rejoicing in heaven over every sinner who comes to Jesus. The angels are rooting for you to do it today. The Spirit of God is working on you to come today, to say yes to this Jesus who is the only Savior. Will you say yes?
Thanks so much for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550 or by visiting our website, gcafamilychurch.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.